It's a download. Time for Studio 435 here on 720 WGN, our Monday Night Showcase, featuring live music from the best Chicago has to offer right here in our All-State Showcase studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Tonight, a return engagement for Chicago's The Safes. The rock and roll band just put out a new album this fall. It's called Tasty Waves, out on Hidden Volume Records. And they just came off an amazing tour from all over the country. They're back in town. They're playing Beat Kitchen on Wednesday night. Patrick and Frankie O'Malley and Dave Elliott in studio. And here they are with their first track tonight live, the track Hometown. Take it away, guys.
I used to hate myself when I loved someone else. I'm back up on the shelf.
The Safes in Studio 435 tonight. Come on over to the table, guys.
All right.
That was Frankie and Patrick O'Malley, Dave Elliott on the bass. That was a track, Hometown, which is off Tasty Waves, their new album just put out this fall on Hidden Volume Records. The band, of course, Chicago band, were here probably about, I would say, what, 8 months ago, 9 months ago?
Yeah.
Great to see you guys.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having us back.
I feel like we're buddies.
Yeah.
We are buddies.
We are buddies. Last time we were in, we had a great conversation. I remember it distinctly, talking about family, talking about art and music. You also made a big point about the fact that, you know, music is about hustle. It's about hard work. It's about putting it together. Let's talk first off about Tasty Waves. Put us from in January talking about getting new music together. Talk about the process of getting this record to print.
Okay, so in January we had the rhythm tracks done for Tasty Waves, and we needed to and the vocals, and we needed to do the overdubs.
Right.
And we have a home studio, Patrick records all of the overdubs, the extra guitars and keyboards and background vocals. So we locked ourselves in the studio for a few months and finished that off, and then mixed it, and then we headed over to our friend Brian Deck, who worked with us on the album, and we mixed it with Brian. And while we were working on it, we were sending it around to some independent labels. We got a couple interested, and the thing that made the most sense was teaming up with Hidden Volume. They were very into the album, and they were into everything we were putting into it, which was, you know, like 3 months of being on the road touring.
The hustle. That's what attracted you, was the fact that the hustle has to be a part of any sort of deal that you guys get?
Well, yeah, some people, you know, certain labels would be asking for a percentage of back-end royalties on licensing and business type things. And when we talked to Hidden Volume, there was no talk about that type of stuff. It was more of an understanding of a realistic DIY approach to doing rock and roll. It wasn't, you know,
right.
Weird.
We combined forces. It's like they have their own method of
releasing records and presenting records and distributing records internationally. So they were going to do their hustle, and then we had our own,
our own
thing that we do, and we just joined forces and try to get it out there to as many people as possible.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. We're fans of Hidden Volume, and Hidden Volume were fans of us. We had the great fortune, our friend Kurt Schmelz, who plays bass with us on the road, he booked us with the owner of Hidden Volume's band on tour in 2014.
Okay, right,
so
right,
he
right.
saw
so you guys
us.
Have seen, yeah.
And then he came out to see us again and again. And then as Hidden Volume kept putting out records, I was like, that'd be a great label for us. And, you know, we became friends with Scott, and it kind of became an organic thing where we, you know, called him on the phone and talked about it, and it was like a one conversation.
Well, the record's doing great. I mean, you guys are, when we were in before, I mean, the idea that this is your, you got a label now and the record's out. I mean, you guys are showing up all over the place, which is awesome. But there is still a hustle part of this in the way that, you know, getting some good buzz and people liking the music you put out, just almost you put it in the next gear. I mean, you were explaining to me before we came in, Frankie, just the how big the tour has been.
I haven't had a weekend off since the last weekend in August.
Just going.
But that's the way you want to live your life.
We're playing rock and roll.
Yeah, it's the best thing to be doing, you know. So we're blessed to be able to do it.
Yeah, we're professional musicians.
You told me this is the smartest tour that the Safes have ever done.
Well, I really believe it is. Thanks to Dave, we have the luxury of having great friends and musicians. Brian Dexter, Kurt Schmelz, and Dave Elliott. We couldn't do it without those three guys. We broke the tour up into two-week tours, one to the East Coast, because you need to play on a Monday night in Cleveland and a Tuesday night in Pittsburgh and every so on to get to Boston and New York. You have to, and you have to play Columbus, Ohio on the way home, and you have to play, you know, going out west, you have to play Springfield, Missouri, and, you know, all these
for routing
these
reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're going to route it out right.
So on the last tour, when we did a five-week tour straight, and we spent the last week in the Midwest, and we were playing Milwaukee and Green Bay and Madison and Minneapolis on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the shows were duds, and we're like, we usually kill here. And then we were like, it's because we're playing on Sunday and Monday.
Right.
These are cities we're hitting more
frequently.
We're
playing on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah,
so
right.
What we should do next time is play all our good Midwest towns on Fridays and Saturdays exclusively, and then break the coast tours up to two-week tours. So we did that. And it worked out really great. I'm very happy to be home and to have accomplished it all. I remember before the tour, Dave said to me, I wonder what you're going to think of taking this approach to, because we've been touring for 14 years, and this is the first time we did it like this. I remember Dave specifically asking me, like, I wonder what your opinion of this is going to be, because, like, you're going to be on the road for 3 months, dude. And I was like, I didn't think about it like that. And he's like, you know, he told me, I looked at your website and I started having an anxiety attack because Dave only did the Midwest dates. Our two friends from the Baltimore and DC did all of the 2 week tours. And Dave's like, oh, I only have to do the weekends. And then I was like, oh my God, I don't have a weekend off until Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, people don't think about that, especially bands.
I certainly didn't until Dave mentioned it.
I'm happy to
Thanks,
do
Dave.
It.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm happy to go out there and do
but,
it.
But, I mean, just I'm intrigued because bands the way to not just make money but to market your music is to be able to be in that kind of rotation where you're constantly gigging, you're out on the road,
That's the lifeblood.
And there is a science and a technique to that. I mean, the best bands and the ones have to be efficient. You have to think ahead three cities. You have to think that you got to play Cleveland here to get to Pittsburgh to get to Boston. I never really think about that, but that could go astronomically bad.
Oh my God.
If you're not thinking ahead.
There, you can look at the routing of some bands that are even major label bands, and you
what do you mean routing, like routing?
Yeah. You'll look at I will look at tours and I'll be like, that's a 22-hour drive. Like, and the way it works out is they have a bus driver and they all sleep. They go to sleep right after the gig. They wake up and they crawl, you know, they get on stage and they play the next gig. And, you know, I mean, we don't have the luxury. I, you know,
yeah, right.
we share the driving responsibilities ourselves. You know, I mean, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Well, I always tell a story because happenstance, I was in Nashville a couple of years back, and I had dinner with friends, and one of the guys from Cage the Elephant was there.
Oh, nice.
Right? He was there. I was at the table. I didn't know much about the band, but I started talking to him about his life, and I said, how often do you get up to Chicago? He's like, we get up there a lot. We play the Aragon. Is that what it's called? Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
But what he said, I go, so do you get out and you see? And he's like, to be honest, no. He's like, our tour bus pulls up in front of the Aragon. You have the choice to go in if you want and sound check, and they'll sound check, and then everyone gets back on the bus until the show, and they get on the bus and the show, and then when they're done with the show, they're gone.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. They're the kind of band that, because of their success, they're at the point where they're climbing that mountain and they're doing the 22-hour drive. But they don't take time to check out the sights or go get coffee or have dinner. It's business.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the good things about being at the level we're at, is we get to enjoy things like that. There are some long drives, but there wasn't a single double-digit hour drive on this entire tour.
That's great.
I think the longest was less than 8 hours. Which, you know, in a lot of that, I mean, that's, you know, not too bad, but we got to spend a lot of time doing fun things in addition to playing rock and roll.
You know, for you guys to be a band that is on the way up and getting a lot of great buzz in Chicago and people talking about your stuff, how do you get people to a Tuesday night show in Denver or a Thursday night show in Pittsburgh? I mean, how does that work for Ben? Because it used to be like try to get, I mean, I was only thinking like 70s and 80s to try to get on the radio station there. Mm-hmm. But with
well,
the internet,
do that.
How do you do it?
Well, we do that. This album made it to the top 40 on college radio.
Great. Congratulations.
We mailed it to all the music blogs, all the daily newspapers. We got coverage on a bunch of those.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember last time our nephew Patrick was here. He made a great animated music video which got premiered by Stereo Gum, which helped. And
it promotes the tour, promotes the upcoming album, things like
that. So a national music publication gave us a high profile
and that
video
works.
Premiere.
That it works does. In the sense that kids will come out from Pittsburgh or whatever.
That because Stereo Gum is, you know, it's like top five on most influential music blogs, and then the second video our friend James Glass made was premiered by Big Takeover, industry.
You guys have been doing this for, like you said, you've been touring for 14 years.
Yeah.
Do you notice the difference? Do you notice when something gets in Stereo Gum or other things?
Definitely.
Do you notice you go to like I said, a Pittsburgh or a Denver and you're seeing a crowd that wasn't there before?
Sure, yeah. Or write-ups in daily newspapers or interviews. Yeah, we'll see people coming out. For sure.
It definitely helps. I mean, the college radio helps more in the kids who are working at the station. If they get excited about the record, you'll see them more so there's a big audience of people listening to college radio.
Right.
But it definitely helps. And you know, being in the Tribune, they did a half-page article on us the other day. Like, that's huge.
Do you feel, I just love talking. The Safes are in studio tonight, Frankie and Patrick O'Malley, Dave Elliott as well is here. You know, and we're talking about the success of the album Tasty Waves, playing Beat Kitchen coming up here on Wednesday. You're back in town. We're talking about the tour. And I love the fact that you know, I had the chance to meet you guys 9 months ago or whatever, I guess 11 months now, but 11 months ago, being in studio talking about your lives as musicians and be able to talk about getting to the next level. And as you guys continue to climb and you continue to work and you continue to hustle to see the success, I am intrigued to get at what the feelings are. I mean, do you recognize that? Do you say
yes?
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I know our hard work is paying off. See it in audience. I could see it in making the top 40. I can see it in the way people treat us. What is it, right?
It's all of it. It's the the ability to continue to do it. It's the privilege and the blessing to be able to continue to do it. And we do. Yeah. I mean, like I said, like, I'm happy to be home, that we made it. We played every gig. We sold records every night. We sold t-shirts every night. We, you know, played in front of audiences
played
in different
cities.
Played
with great bands.
Yeah, we made new friends in every city. That's another huge component of actually being a touring band, is it's really the friends you make in each city.
Right, the relationships.
It's the people that help you book that show in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Baltimore and D.C. Like the friendships you develop with the people in every city. You know, that's the lifeblood of a DIY touring band.
Yeah.
And, you know, the privilege to be able to do it, you know, I mean, it's really the act of performing. I love it's all for the 40 minutes I'm on stage, you know, I mean, like Dolly Parton said, you know.
That's right. I consider you guys to be Dolly Parton philosophers.
Yeah, I love Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what we'll do. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we will get some more music.
All
the
right.
Safes are in studio. Frankie and Patrick O'Malley, Dave Elliott as well, in tonight. They are playing at Beat Kitchen coming up Wednesday, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving show.
Classic. Yeah. And we've been, this will be the 14th year we've done it.
Really?
Yeah.
At Beat Kitchen?
Yeah.
We've done it
at Beat Kitchen a bunch of times, but we've done it at several other
venues. But you love playing on that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving?
It's a good night. Yeah, it's a good night to do. And it's a record. It's our record. It's our Chicago. So the record's been out since September 8th, but this is the first night it's available in Chicago. So
bring
your gig money and bring your merch money. Because we're selling.
Two different pockets.
We have two. Yeah, right? This album is on. It's on two colors vinyl. It's on electric blue vinyl, sea blue vinyl, and compact disc.
I love that that's retro now, the compact disc.
Yeah, the compact disc is the retro thing. We still do have that.
Do you have the long boxes?
Yeah. We went back to the long boxes, too.
All right, the Safes are in studio. We'll hear some more live music. The album's Tasty Waves are playing Beat Kitchen in Roscoe Village on Wednesday night. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get the update from Rob Martyr on tonight's news, and we will continue. Stay with us. Thank you, Rob. Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for Studio 435, the second half of Studio 435, our Monday Night Showcase, featuring live music from Chicago bands right here in our Allstate Showcase studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. The rock and roll band The Safes in studio tonight. Their album, Tasty Waves, is out now. It's getting great reviews, great buzz. They just went on a big tour all over the country. They're back in town for the unofficial record release party here in Chicago at the Beat Kitchen. Coming up on Wednesday night, right before Thanksgiving. Patrick and Frankie O'Malley here. Dave Elliott as well on bass. And they're back with another track. Here we go, guys. Disposable Outcome. Take it away.
Pounding your chest like a drum. Disposable Outcome. There is one thing that will last once it's gone. Change your haircut clothes, but where you came from never goes. While the price of something free is dangling over me, you consume your pint of blood while you fling gallons of mud. Pounding your chest like a drum. Miles on my tongue, eating piles of your dung. I can tolerate the taste and afford the time we waste to establish that you're tall and that I am very small. Pounding your chest like a chunk.
There we go, The Safes, live in Studio 435 tonight. It's Frankie O'Malley, Patrick O'Malley, Dave Elliott in studio. The track Disposable Outcome. They're going to be playing at the Beat Kitchen coming up on Wednesday night. It's the unofficial record release party for the
Well,
band.
It is official. I think it's official for it's the official Chicago release party.
Okay, official Chicago release party for
because
the
we made Chicago wait. We brought it all over the country. We made our hometown wait for the official Chicago release.
The band, the Safe Sin Studio, the album called Tasty Waves. When you do that, I mean, do you have to resist the urge or give in to the urge of making a show like that special? When you get to come home after a long tour and you do a show that you guys do all the time on a Wednesday night on Thanksgiving, there's tradition. It's the official release party. What do you got to do? I mean, do you approach a gig like that differently?
Yeah. We almost book every single time we go on tour and put out a new record, we make Chicago the last date of the tour, so we are so road tight. Because when you go on tour and play that long, you get better. You perform better. So Chicago will be getting our best performance. And they haven't had a chance to buy the album in person until this coming Wednesday night.
It's
and
very
they can.
Important. As you already said, there's several different colors and styles.
Yeah, there's two different colors. It's on CD. We're playing with some great local bands. I'd like to name the bands we're playing with. We're playing with The Hustle, which is our nephew Alex's band. Little Boy Jr. and our good friends of The Difference. And we're looking forward to playing. All three bands are really great, and we're really happy they're on the bill.
The last time we talked, and I loved that conversation, we talked about how your musical family. I
mean, yeah.
Your other brother also plays in the band.
Yeah.
And your nieces and nephews and
plays.
Learning at an early age music. It's a big part of the O'Malley clan thing, right?
Yeah, that's the next big hustle is figuring out how to get people in the music industry interested in that family album. Because it's not a rock and roll album, it's more
it's orchestral.
Of a, yeah, it's different. It's not what we've. It's not the network of people we've developed relationships with. It's outside of that. We're gonna have to hustle our way into a new crowd of people. Or something.
Dave, is it a plus? I mean, you've been playing music for a while. Is it a plus, a minus to work with family that's not yours necessarily?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's super easy. I mean, they're good songs, right? They're good bass parts. I love playing them. I love learning all the old ones that their brother Michael wrote. I mean, as a bass player, it's like really awesome because it's like, oh, this, you know, Michael plays totally different than I play. And Frankie writes stuff totally different than what I used to write in my other bands. And Kurt plays things different, and getting to just absorb all of that is a lot of fun, and it's really easy when the songs are there. And
right.
So,
and the other thing I want to say with Dave Elliott and Brian Dexter and Kurt Schmelz is these guys are Dave's from Maryland, Kurt's from Baltimore, and Dex is from Virginia, and we met them from touring. We went out and toured, and we didn't know them at all until we played with their band in D.C. and Baltimore. And then we booked them in Chicago, and then we started doing shows together. And as our brothers got married, started their families, and couldn't do the road anymore, you know, our cousin Patrick came in. He played bass for a while.
Right,
then he got married and moved to New York, and he couldn't play. And then we were like, well, who are we going to ask to join our band? And we've been like,
which family member is left?
Well, then we were like, well, we spent 2 weeks on the road with Kurt and the Lexington Arrows, and we've been on tour with the Shakedowns, and we've been on tour with, you know, these guys, and we're like, and we got along every night.
Yeah,
we didn't fight. They're great professional musicians, so we're very lucky. I mean, touring brought us that.
Right,
touring
right,
brought
right.
us the opportunity to tour beyond family being there.
You know, touring also brings perspective, and to be in a different town and to soak up what you can. You're not doing the big Cage the Elephant tour yet, where you're 22 hours. Talk about Chicago as a rock and roll town. I mean, where does it stack up? I mean, you go and play all these different clubs and all these different places, some that are more
the
rock and roll than the other.
Chicago is you can hear great music any night of the week. There's a great industry, meaning there's great radio stations, music critics that help out. Chicago music fans are great. It stacks up. I mean, it's Chicago's the real deal.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, sorry to interrupt, but there are so many good music venues. There are so many good bands. There are some, like, you have local bands on WGN. I mean,
how cool is that?
There's it stacks up. It's great. I mean, not every city has what Chicago has.
Right.
Chicago is, you know, it's the real deal.
Well, I always think about it because you know, they'll always say, like a town like Nashville. Mm-hmm. They say that if you go to any bar in Nashville, they have a band playing in the, it's, I think it might even be a city ordinance that you have to have a band in every bar.
Right.
And they always talk about, you can feel it. You can feel that the, it's ingrained in the culture there where you, they're just really accepting of live music. But when you really start stacking it up population wise or size wise or how many bars are in a city, how many live rooms there are,
right.
Chicago actually has more.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
because of the size of the town, but Chicago and obviously New York, LA, place like that. Mm-hmm. But Chicago doesn't get you never actually when you say the word Nashville to anybody, they go, "Oh, music." But when you say the word Chicago to anybody, it doesn't necessarily it doesn't stack up to be the number one
well,
thing that's
Well, this is something about Chicago that is sadly not represented, and that's the history of music in Chicago, which Buddy Guy talked to the former mayor Daley about. He said, when you go to Memphis,
right.
it's everything is Elvis Presley and Sun Studios. And when you go to New Orleans, everything is Louis Armstrong and jazz and Zydeco music. And when you,
yeah, go to Nashville, it's a country music hall of fame, right?
You go to
right.
Nashville, it's this. He goes, but you fly into Chicago and you don't see any pictures of Muddy Waters. You don't see any pictures of Howlin' Wolf. You don't see anything about Johnny B. Goode being recorded in Chicago or the Rolling Stones recording Satisfaction in on Michigan Avenue, right down the road from where we are. Right. Johnny B. Goode was recorded.
A lot of cities like embrace that culture, that history.
And Chicago
does, but not in a way that it's center.
Chess Records is one of the birthplaces of rock and roll. I mean, Chicago is where rock and roll, it's one of the, it's as important as Memphis, St. Louis, New Orleans for rock and roll. I mean, all the people that I just named. I mean, the Rolling Stones came here to record at Chess Studios because of Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Chuck Berry. I mean, and Bo Diddley and the rest, all of the artists on Chess Records. So, I mean, that it's sad that that part of Chicago's music history doesn't have the light shined on it.
Yeah, you're right. And it's a big enough city that you could put, because there has been calls for there to be a blues museum here in Chicago and other plans and construction, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but there isn't, and there should be.
Right.
I mean,
you could,
should...
but you could easily in this town consider a huge building that could be a blues museum that would rival what they have for the Country Music Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is the impact that it had on the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, who,
changed the game.
It changed the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And it started here. So it's a little disappointing that that isn't recognized.
Right, right.
As far as like modern rock and roll and what's going on now, it's great. And I think there's a lot of support and a lot of bands and, outlets and this and that. But I don't know. I'm a music history guy.
I love it. And we didn't even mention, Curtis Mayfield. There's a soul movement here. And I guess with rock and roll, and I always think about rock and roll and the music that you guys do as obviously there's so much to hear when you talk about places like even Bee Kitchen, but you talk about Empty Bottle or you talk about the Metro and other Hideout and all the places in between. But I wonder how much that is concentrated, how much that comes out of, when you go, like you said, you go to Memphis or Nashville, that's the heartbeat. That's the soul. That's the backbone that you know where you're at. And in Chicago, Smashing Pumpkins and maybe Ministry, those kind of bands represent rock and roll. And there's others, Urge Overkill and things like that. But you don't necessarily think rock and roll when you come to Chicago.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Well, you should, because Johnny B. Goode was recorded here. And Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Right. I mean, Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and Bo Diddley. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's mind-boggling because... It should be. It should be the first place people think of, if not the second, to Memphis maybe. I don't know.
When you or guys, and you mentioned, being road tight, coming to Chicago to play Bee Kitchen, you just came off all these shows around the country. You get tighter as a unit and the chemistry. Does it also help you as musicians to think about your next work? Do you the chemistry that goes along with playing and getting tighter, does it help you as a songwriter? Does it help you with, I know these songs so well now, I know how I want to evolve to the next project?
I find on tour that I get more ideas for songwriting, for lyrics. There's something about the freedom of the road that opens my mind for songwriting. As far as having a project to finish, we have a million projects going on all the time. and picking one to actually finish might be more of a, you know, something that takes actual critical thought. Whereas the creative side of it, being on the road, I have tons of ideas for songwriting where I don't when I'm at home. I mean, I write songs all the time, but like there's a different type of idea of songwriting. I wrote a bunch of Tasty Wave songs when we were on tour promoting Record Heat. I remember being like, or in the van, verses coming to my mind, and then getting to the next, you know, person's house we were staying at, and grabbing the guitar and figuring out what the chords were, and you know that happens.
Do you notice from having a tour like you just did, and the creative ideas that come from it? Do you notice a change in the direction of the music, or an evolution, or an artistic direction that might be different than what you've done in the last record?
Definitely, because it's always the new experience and the new exposure to whatever weird, crazy things that happen. Because the road is crazy. It's not a predictable thing. It's not like Cage the Elephant where it's, we drive 22 hours, we sit in front of the club, we play, we drive. We don't know where we're going to end up at night. And when we wake up in the morning, we don't know where we're going to end up or what's going to happen. We don't.
Sometimes where we're at.
Sometimes we're like, where are we? Yeah. You get lost. And it's a mystery, and it's a constant adventure. Yeah. So it puts your mind into a place which is great for creativity and great for writing.
Yeah, that's Frankie O'Malley, Patrick O'Malley, and Dave Elliott as well here. The Safes talking about their new album, Tasty Waves. They got a show coming up on Wednesday at Beat Kitchen. This is their annual Wednesday before Thanksgiving show. They will be at Beat Kitchen in Roscoe Village. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get one more in you. We'll do one more here.
Sounds good.
Live song here,
awesome.
Studio 435.
Thank you.
Stay with us. It is a download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Studio 435 wrapping up tonight with the band The Safes, rock and roll band with their new album Tasty Waves, which came out this fall. They just did a massive tour of the country. They are ending the tour at the Beat Kitchen on Wednesday night. Back in town for the official album release party. Yeah, for Tasty Waves. These guys have been here before. It was a pleasure to have them back. We got Frankie and Patrick O'Malley and Dave Elliott as well on the bass. And here they are, The Safes, with the track Mediocre Jokers. Take it away, guys.
1, 2, 3, go! Jokers from the Hate Brigade, alcoholic super soakers with the greenish shade on your coats of envy that are never gonna fade. You can't do it for yourself, so you just rain on our parade. You see, of course, only the mouth of this gift holds, but you're blind to its rich soul. When a person can't say thank you, it's when good luck becomes tough, and we only get a blank you, bumbling a bogus bluff. Can we break this piggy bank, you keeping track of all this stuff? You see, of course, only the mouth of this gift calls, but you're blind to its rich souls.
The Safes live, Studio 435 tonight. The show, the album release party will be at Beat Kitchen coming up on Wednesday. The album is called Tasty Waves, which is out in Hidden Volume Records. And, of course, this is their return engagement. More to come from the Safes. They are having such a tremendous, tremendous run right now with Tasty Waves and the tour that just ends at Beat Kitchen.
Sadly.
Sadly. Frankie.
Well, we have some – actually, we have some potential good news on the horizon.
Ooh.
That we don't know is for certain. But
no.
We might be going to some other country soon.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But we'll put that in the developing scrawl. Yeah. We'll put the developing.
Fingers crossed, but there are some things Hidden Volumes is doing to try and get us out of America.
All right. I like to hear that.
Yeah.
Chicago's The Safes going international.
Yes.
Developing. Yes. Right. Frankie, Patrick, Dave, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you guys coming back.
Thanks for having us, Justin.